now we can, like we always do, we can blame all this on Pastor Mike if it doesn't record. We always blame him anyway, so. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
It's always good to be out in the house of the Lord. And it's such a beautiful day, as we had mentioned. And as Mike may have mentioned in Sunday school, we decided to hold off on Galatians. And next week, Pastor Mike's going to give a wonderful and amazing introduction. And then Brother John, of course, will take over in his turn. And I always like to say what an amazing job Mike and Brother John has been doing. I mean, here they have really been bringing it. And it is amazing that we get to hear these wonderful messages. So today, before they start with the Galatians, we had heard maybe, there may be lots of people, but we heard possibly that there was a young lady in the congregation that loved the verse 1 John 4:4. And so we thought that to finish up before we all go into that, that we would have a message on 1 John 4:1-6. And before Brother Larry reads the verses, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this amazing opportunity we have that we can come out and honor you and worship you and praise you and thank you for all the things you've done in our life, all the answered prayers, all the things you do for us that we don't even know about. We ask you, precious Heavenly Father, for the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct what is said and heard and taught here today. Let from God and the Word, let that's what will be taught and heard. Thank you for all these things. Thank you for your Son Jesus that come to earth to so our sins can be forgiven. In His name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So now, if Brother Larry, whenever he's ready, would read 1 John 4:1-6.
Test the Spirit. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the Spirit to see whether they are from God or from the false prophet and going out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God, and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Bless these words.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Heidi was not on her game after all. The papers is flying out through the wood. No, I'm good. Thank you. So basically here in this beautiful letter from John, the beloved apostle, he gives us the test, and the way I like it, he quickly gives us the answers to the test. So it amazes us, even though the Bible is clear, how good the church has done through the history of protecting the biblical truth. Every generation seems to fall into error. This is why Paul instructed Timothy in his letter in 1 Timothy, chapter 6, 1 Timothy. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, and what had been entrusted to him was the treasure of divine revelation. He said to guard that. In order to guard that, he says, you have to avoid worldly and empty chatter. You have to avoid arguments that oppose the scripture, even though they might be called knowledge. they are falsely called knowledge. Some have professed these things and gone astray from the faith. Guard the treasure, guard the truth. What is essential to the faith? That's how he ended his first letter to Timothy. Here's how he began his second letter to Timothy. Chapter 1 of the 2 Timothy, verse 13. Retain, that is, hold the standard of sound words. Hold on to sound doctrine, which you have heard from me. Verse 14. Guard, there's the same word again. Guard or keep through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you.
Amen.
It's the guardianship that is so important. We cannot pass on the truth unless we protect it, unless we guard it. There are always false religions and cults. There are always those who come along with their deceptive schemes that say to be biblical, that quote Bible verses, that say they have a message from God, that they have a better way to understand the Bible and apply the Bible to make the Bible acceptable. There are those who outright fashion an attack on the Bible, and then those who are much more subtle. But we are constantly being called to the defense of the Scripture and the defense of the truth. Looking at this, one can draw the conclusion from this that at any time a spirit is conveying a false doctrine, something unscriptural, he cannot be of God. Thus, in principle, a spirit who conveys false information is not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will never lead anyone contrary to the Bible.
Amen.
New Testament scriptures have been given to believers for their guidance or direction until the Lord's return at rapture. If someone teaches things that are contrary to Scripture, he is a false teacher, and the source of his teaching is not God, the Holy Spirit. So what about the evil spirits that we see in the New Testament, professing and claiming Jesus to be the Son of God and the Lord of all lords? This was never professed claims or articulated by the religious Pharisees and Sadducees of their time. People even started to accuse Jesus of possessing and being empowered by evil spirits to do healing and miracles. The demonic spirits also believe in God, but they do not obey God.
Amen.
No, they don't. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you will do well. Even the demons believe and tremble, but do not want to know the faith." But James said, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" James chapter 2, 18 through 20.
Amen.
Apparently we articulate with fervent joy contrary to the demonic spirits who are fearful of God when they utter the name of Jesus. The gist of the text is a spirit's acknowledgement of rejection of Jesus as the incarnate Son of God. A confession of Jesus involves more than an admission of his identity. It is a profession of faith in him and submission to his sovereignty. The Holy Spirit testifies to and glorifies Jesus. Therefore, a confession proclaiming the truth that Jesus is the incarnate Christ is of God testifies to both his full humanity as our Savior and Redeemer and his full deity as Lord and our Sovereign King.
Amen.
I will just speak quickly about the Antichrist and the timing of the Antichrist's appearance of the, which is the second law, with the second coming of Christ rules out any and all. The reason we know this is because the second coming hasn't taken place yet. This doesn't mean that he is not currently alive, because there is a great possibility that the Antichrist could be alive or will soon be born, which of course would be when we would start looking for the coming of the Lord. In Scripture, this individual is known as the Antichrist. The Antichrist is one who opposes, denies, and counterfeits imitation of Christ primarily through deception. He is not only in opposition to Christ, but he also seeks to overthrow his position and authority. The Antichrist is a woer and will, with great deception, lure people away from a relationship with Christ. The approach of the Antichrist can be felt daily in news reports across the world.
Amen.
As well as throughout history of the world. You can look at your Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other hand and discover that there is something very prophetic, a bit frightening, but most of all exciting, that it all points to the return of Jesus. It is easy to be frightened by the wickedness we all see around us and overwhelmed by the problems we face. Evil is obviously more stronger than we are. John assures us, however, that God is stronger. He will conquer all evil, and His Spirit and His Word live in our hearts.
Amen.
As a result of being saved, they have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God in them, rather than Satan, who is behind the scenes working through his spirits or demons, conveying message to these false prophets. And God, the Holy Spirit, is greater than Satan and his demons in every way. How to overcome in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Overcoming evil with good. How the overcoming takes place was discussed in 1 John chapter 2, 13 and 14, knowing God intimately. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, born of God and our faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Since there are many teachers claiming to be spokespersons of God, we must test the spirits possessing them to determine their origin. Paul gives similar instructions in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Apostle John says that false teachers are preoccupied by the trappings of this world, verse 5. Furthermore, they have great followings because people of the world are attracted to them. If they promote carnality, be it control or materialism, they are false prophets. And they will seduce many churchgoers into believing him because of Satan's subtle way. Satan may say, want a better family? Do this. Want more money? Do this. Want a better job? Do this. Does it tie in with the New Testament? No. Although a few verses are slipped in and pressed upon their followers, convincing them that they have the only way. They do not dwell on the gospel, but their own concocted psychology, philosophy.
If we live a life of faith
and know our scripture, God will give us what we need and the Holy Spirit will direct us. Paul instructs and warns Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill the ministry. Some people believe everything they read and hear. Unfortunately, many ideas printed and taught are untrue. Christians must have faith, but not be gullible. Verify every message you hear, even if the person who brings it says it is from God. If the message is truly from God, it will be consistent with Christ's teachings.
Amen.
In John's passage today, in verses 5 and 6, he says, "They are of the world, we are of God." Gives the readers the impression of Christianity that pits Christ against culture. This form of witness, while powerful, is neither the most appropriate nor the most effective for the church in the modern world. Throughout history and across the globe, Christians has often identified themselves with our culture that the church has lost its voice. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Instead of transformation, we have been conformed to the pattern of this world. I remember my Sunday school teacher used to continually remind us, "Are we in the world or of the world?" In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 11 and 16, "We have been conforming too much to the world. Instead of renewing our minds and changing the world, we allow the world to transform us." That is exactly what has happened, and it continues to happen profoundly in the American church.
Amen.
For believers, there is only one absolute truth. Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
Through only way, truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. No one in history has ever professed or made such a powerful claim. There is no other truth that can vouch for this authenticity. People can contend, discard, refute, and be hateful towards this absolute truth. But this statement, with all hope, has stood the test of all times and never failed. In verse 6, John reiterates that he and his faithful belong to God. Others whom they encounter will know they are Christians if there is mutual understanding. In contrast, anyone who berates them or doesn't understand what John and his people speak of or how they live, lifestyle, fruits of their ministry, is not of God. They are not Christians, even if they claim to be.
Amen.
False teachers are popular with the world because, like the false prophets of the Old Testament, they tell people what they want to hear. John warns the Christians who faithfully teach God's word will not win any popularity contest in the world. People don't want to hear their sins denounced. They don't want to listen to demands that they change their behavior. A false teacher will be well received by non-Christians. This is a funny story about a pastor, and he told about his pastor when he was growing up. "When I was a little boy, I grew up in a church where the first 3 years of my life, the minister did not believe in the truth of the Bible. But the officers, the elders, were Bible-believing men, and one of them, the patriarch of the session, was Uncle Eddie. And the elders were concerned, and they were concerned to shepherd the flock until they could get a man in the pulpit who could preach the Word of God. And Uncle Eddie watched the preacher like a hawk Sunday after Sunday so that he could be ready in a Sunday school class the next day to teach them the truth from the Bible. When a new pastor came to the congregation following this man, Uncle Eddie watched him like a hawk also. For 6 months, he listened to every word he said. And then one Sunday morning, he'd cross his arms in the back of the church, in the back row, and looked at him and listened to every word again. One Sunday morning, 6 months later, the new pastor looked back, and Uncle Eddie was in the back row asleep. So, at the end of the service, as he was walking out, the new pastor said, "Well, Uncle Eddie, I noticed that you really enjoyed my sermon today." And Uncle Eddie said, "I've been listening to you for 6 months, You know the Lord, you love the Bible, you're preaching the truth, I can go back to sleep now. Now that's not John's point to us today. But the elder was concerned to discern between truth and error, because he knew that it would impact the lives of his people. And when we hear those who teach against the Bible, what the Bible says about Jesus, John says, verses 3, we know they're not from God. Now in closing, I have one last story to tell. This week, Pastor Mike called, and the next night I called him back, and we went over several things, and about the church and the sermon and everything like that, and about Mama Marion and Clarence and how everybody was doing. And then he said, well, I have to go over something else with you. I've heard that there's crazy stories going around the neighborhood surrounding you around the region. And I had to fess up to our pastor, Mike, that the stories was true. I went to the state road to work, and he had heard it from Pastor Joe Lamb. And we talked about it and all the things and all the people we had knew. And my dad worked for the state road, and my granddad worked for the state road. And all in Terada, and they had sent me to Terada. And I told the pastor, my plan was, I would imagine, like all of our plan, is to use the teaching that we had heard the verse today, that hopefully, through the help of the Holy Spirit, that while I'm there working with all those men, and I know each and every one of them personally, that they can see that we are different, that we are, you know, that our the amazing light of Christ shines in our life. And I will listen to the verses, and when the time comes, and I will tell them my story. I'll be ready to tell them my story. But I really only have one story to tell, and that's that Jesus came to earth, born of a virgin, in the flesh. And a lot of religions get this messed up. And he was fully man, and he was fully God. And he was there's really, from the Bible and all of our belief here, there's no way to get confused, I don't think. But also, me and Pastor Mike talked about it, also he died on the cross, and in 3 days he was raised from the dead. He was resurrected. He beat hell, and he beat death. And now he sits at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us.
Amen.
And I hope as time goes that I will be able to tell my co-workers this. But I will tell them the story when I was 10 or 11 and I was in Terada and I was in the church and I was sitting with a whole bunch of ornery boys. And why the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, I'll never know. I'm so very thankful and said, pay attention. They're telling a very important story here. You know, Jesus died for my sins. You know, even me, the young man from Terada, sitting in the middle of the church being honored. He died for my sins. And then I'll also tell them, I remember in my mid-20s at the Terada Wesleyan Church across from J&J Ford, the nice young pastor, near the end of the service, he asked for anybody that wanted to come up and redirect and up to the altar and redirect your life. You know, tell Jesus that you are willing to live your life for him. And the first Sunday, I didn't go. I sat back here, and I really wanted to go, but I didn't go. And I waited all week, and I was hoping that he would give the same call. And when he gave the invitation, I don't even remember walking up there. I think I may have flew up there. But, you know, these are the stories that I will tell them, you know. And I will make them clearly understand that I don't know why the further I walk with Jesus, I don't know why he ever fooled with me. But I'm really glad he did. And also, a lot of people ask, when you talk about these matters, they say, well, when you were saved, was you changed immediately? And my answer for me was no. I was not changed immediately. He has had a long lot of work with me, and he's got a long lot more work to go. I was born a sinner. You know, I'm not. So that is the story I will tell. And with you all praying for me and helping me, and through the help of the Holy Spirit that's the story I'll tell. So now, if we could, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you again for the chance, as it was said earlier, to come out here on this hill at this beautiful country church. Thank you, Father, for each and every single person that you've sent out here today to listen to your word. We thank you for these things. We thank you for your word. We know your word is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. We thank you for this. Let us continue to learn from the word. Let us continue to listen to the Holy Spirit. Let us continue to love you. Let us love our neighbors and anybody you send our way. Let us try to make a difference in their life in these terrible, tragic times. We ask you to send us out in the world this week and do the job that you have trained us to do, to help people, to love people, to nurture people, to be set apart, that they would realize from our actions and our talk and the way we live our lives that we are in fact different, that we are trying to use Jesus Christ as our role model to be more like him every day. And we ask you to safely take us into our work week and our week and all the things that we have to do. And we thank you most of all for your son Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Pastor Michael, come finish up this wonderful service. Do you want the mic?
No, I'm tired of listening to the wind blow.
I see.
I'm just going to talk real loud.
That'll be perfect.
I apologize for the sound. Yeah.
Let's change the song.
Okay.
Let's go to 62.
62.
I love to tell the story.
Okay.